And praise God. Friday night into Saturday morning, I woke up Saturday morning and felt better. I turned the corner. And then I woke up today and even more so felt better. But when we greet one another, I just wanted to let you all know that so nobody walks up and gives me a holy handshake greeting. You keep your distance from me just in case. And also to warn you that I will be having some lozenges as we go throughout the morning to try and preserve my voice. But felt your prayers, felt the love through text messages and phone calls throughout the week as I was sick. But I'm just going to start actually by reading Philippians 1, 1 and 2. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is this tradition among paratroopers in the armed forces that can be traced back to World War II. It is a tradition of leaders jump first and then others follow. So a paratrooper's job was very dangerous in World War II and since. But they were flown into hostile environments and jumped out of a plane to parachute into a hostile environment. And also, at times, there was live action going on on the ground beneath them. So they're parachuting into live gunfire at times. Now, this would scare the socks off of most of us. This scares the socks off of me to think of doing something like that. I can't even imagine parachuting, skydiving. My brother did that when I was a teenager and took videos of it. And I was like, that's great for you. I'm good. I'll keep my feet on the ground. But this motto, leaders jump first, then others follow, is a motto that the paratroopers have. In order to inspire their men and to model the expectations that they had in fulfilling the orders, the very orders that these leaders gave amongst these paratroopers, as the senior leader of any unit would be the first one to jump out of the plane. Always, every time. So we see this context in this truth coming out. As leadership goes, so goes the rest. Leaders jump first, and then others follow. You know, leadership is extremely important to any organization, whether it be your work, your home life, even your community. Some of us I know are in HOAs. I don't see Devin here, but that comment was for him. But leadership is important in any organization. And the world can observe this. Again, just as we demonstrated in the armed forces, they get it. Leadership is important. They need to inspire their men to do something that at face value, when we look at it, just seems crazy. Well, Christ Church is really no different. We need leadership. It's very important. Christ Church was designed by God to have servant leadership. And the leadership of a local church, again, is extremely important. It's extremely important for the health and well-being of the congregation as a whole. As the leadership goes, so goes the church. Now, this is a proverbial statement. It means that it's not 100% true all the time. There have been leaders throughout church history who have followed Christ passionately and have been even kicked out of pulpits because of it. Okay, but as a proverbial statement, we find it oftentimes to be true. As the leadership goes, so goes the church. Last week in our introduction to the book of Philippians, we saw the historical background of the people of Philippi and the circumstances unto which the Apostle Paul came to them, shared the gospel, and started a church there. 10 years later, now he's writing to the church at Philippi. That's the book that we have before us. He's addressing not just the congregation as a whole, but the leadership that God has gifted to this specific local church. He says to the saints, to the overseers and deacons. And it would be easy to gloss over this portion of the text as Paul just simply addresses them in his greeting. Overseers and deacons. But we are focusing on leadership development right now at KBC. Our men's Bible study, as we are going through 1 Timothy and Titus, we are learning about being leaders in all the spheres of influence that God has for us as men. Leaders in the home, leaders in the workplace, and specifically from those books, leaders in the household of God, in the church. So we're not going to gloss over it. We're going to look intently at this as a whole church family and hopefully be encouraged by some of the things that our guys have been learning and discussing and talking about in our Bible studies on Tuesday mornings and Tuesday evenings. So this is our goal this morning. We will seek to observe the offices of overseer and deacon according to the New Testament in order that we all might have a clearer understanding of how Christ's church is to be servant-led. And again, if you don't think this is important, I invite you to talk to Mark Hyman or Larry Fogel or Doug Phillips or Pastor Bob Winter. These are missionaries that we support here at Kentwood Baptist Church, and the whole purpose of their ministry is going unto different peoples in this world and training up leadership for the local church. Leadership in the local church is vitally important. We can't just gloss over it. We've got to understand it. You need to understand how the church is to be governed, how God has made his church so that we would function correctly as the family of God. So that's what we're going to try and do. Why don't I go ahead and pray, and then we'll start getting into it. Father God, I thank you and praise you that your word is sufficient. I thank you, God, that you are gracious, that you have not left us to our own devices, but Father, that you are a God of order, you are a God of goodness, and Lord, in your grace, you've given us one another, you've given us the church. Lord, we were once a people alienated from you. We were not a people. We did not have mercy. And God, you gave us mercy and you made us a people. You made us a family to gather together to worship you. And you've given us gifts. It was read earlier by Omar. You've given us gifts, leadership, Lord, that they would equip us and teach us for work of ministry. May we value and understand what you've given to us. Help us, Lord, in these things, I pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, so last week when we got into verse 1, I did a little bit of a word study on the word saint. And so I'll just quickly refresh us. It's in your notes. So saint, it means the holy ones or the set apart ones. Okay, and this is referring to the congregation of believers in the city of Philippi. Again, I'm not going to go into much more detail than that because last week is when we stressed that point. So I'm going to move on quickly that amongst this congregation of believers that gather together and worship the Lord in Philippi, we see that with them are overseers and deacons. And the first thing that I want us to see and understand is that important thing that they're with the overseers and the deacons. That number one on your outline, officers in the church are not separate from the church. They are part of the body. Okay, I, Pastor Bob, the deacon board, we are a part of the family of faith here at KBC. And this is really important to understand on several levels. But I'll just quick say a mistake that I think is made, that I've even heard taught and read in books, is that if you're a pastor in a church, that you kind of have to keep yourself separate from the church. And that the church itself kind of looks at this, at the pastors as staff. They're other. They're not part of us. And this, I said a few weeks ago in our men's Bible study, that this really makes me cringe. It makes my stomach hurt. Okay? Because we are a part of a family. And God has called me and Pastor Bob here and our families, our wives, our children. Well, my wife and children, Pastor Bob and Anne. But he's called us here to be a part and covenant together with the church family at Kentwood Baptist Church to grow, that I need to grow in Christ. And me coming and exercising my gifts in the church family here is necessary with you to you exercise your gifts in my life, and we grow up into the head who is Christ. I'm not separate from that. I need you, you need me. Okay? I think it is unhealthy to look at leadership as separate in order to make it easier for people to move on or to come and go. I also have some opinions on how quickly pastors come and go in churches, but I'll, if you want my opinion on that, you can come and see me later. But church leadership unto the entire body, we need to understand that we need the church. The church body unto the leadership, it cannot be just an us and them mentality, thinking that they're going to leave sometime, so therefore we can't get close, or we can't allow them in decision making or things of that nature. Okay, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read down through and kind of commentate as we go through chapter 12, portions of it. And this is all about spiritual gifts. What I want us to see as we're going through this is that leadership in the church, being an overseer, being a deacon, is a gift from God according to Scripture. There's a gift of teaching. There's a calling on somebody's life. And that we all have gifts, and that we're all meant to use those gifts in one body, one local community, and we build each other up in Christ. Verse 1, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brother, I do not want you to be uninformed. Verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To teach, or to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now you see that the emphasis is continually here. We're one. There's different gifts, but the point of the different gifts is for one another. It's for the one. It's for the whole. For us. Verse 11, all of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. God is sovereign over this. Okay, we're united. What's the one? What unites us? We're all in one Spirit, one body in Christ. For just as the body, in verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Verse 26, If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. So again, throughout the text, we see God has gifted each one of us with at least one spiritual gift that we are to use amongst the body for the building up of the whole body of Christ. Our church officers are then men called and gifted by God to serve in that body. Not apart from it, but in it. Not distinct. We are to use the one another's and grow up into our head who is Christ. And this is, we can flip back to Philippians. This is why, on a personal note, I'm so thankful that Naomi and I, and even Pastor Bob, if you think about this, so our family, we were members of the church for a year and a half before I came on staff as an assistant pastor here. So for a year and a half, we were members, we were serving, we got to know the church family, we became a part of the family. So then when Pastor Eric was asking for a while, you know, would we be interested in moving into the parsonage and being his assistant and helping in the youth room, you know, I knew what I was getting. And you guys knew what you were getting from me, right? You knew who we were. We were part of the family. And then like three years after that, Pastor Eric had left and we're in the position of lead pastor role now. And Pastor Bob came and became a member of the church before all this stuff happened last March. And we're now co-pastoring the church. This is a beautiful thing that's going on here at Kentwood Baptist. The family of God raising up leadership amongst it. And one of the things I want to show you through all of this is as we're focusing on leadership development here and now, as the Apostle Paul focused on it with the church plants that he was at and raised up leadership both in Antioch and then appointed leaders as he went through the churches at Galatia and so on and so forth, I want us to understand as we're looking for future leadership, even pastors, that one of the ways that God does that is he raises them up amongst the family. And it's very natural. And it works really well. Leadership development is super important in the local church. So, wanted to emphasize that the officers in the church are a part of the body. Not separate from. Number two, we're going to look specifically then at the office of overseer. So the office of overseer, the word is episkopos. And really what this word means is, I'll read the definition for you. An extension of one who guards, supervises, and helps, primarily an inspector, overseer, a watcher, or a guardian. Okay? What our New Testament authors do, which is extremely helpful, is they use common words that were used in their day, and they use them to illustrate a deeper meaning for something that we have in the New Covenant, in the church, a reality in the church. So the offices of the church are, what they did is they used just regular words to describe what this office or the officer does. So the offices of the church, again, are an example of this. They are descriptive words used to describe what the person in authority in the church, what they are to do. What is a person in servant leadership at a local church, what do they actually do? So here is Philippi. Greco-Roman culture is prevalent. We talked about that last week. So Paul uses a word that they would understand as a leader in their culture. Someone who supervises, oversees the affairs of the church. Administration is a big part of this word. Hey, but episkopos is not the only word that is used in the New Testament to describe this office. There are three main words. There's a few other, not in your list. There's teacher and there's leader. But the three main words are in your list, in your notes. It's overseer, elder, and shepherd, or what we say as pastor. And if you remember, Pastor Bob just recently taught us 1 Peter chapter 5, where all three of these words are used in the same verse to describe this office. So turn with me quick to 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5, 1 through 3 says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." Again, we see here in Peter's letter that he identifies the office as elder. And this may be because even though his audience is mainly Gentile, Peter is known as the apostle to the Jews, and that there might have been a lot of Jewish heritage influence around them. So he uses the word elder because Jews in the Old Testament called the leaders of their synagogues elders. And that elder, presbyteros, this word refused to somebody, it just means an old person. Okay, but the meaning behind it is wisdom. Wisdom and leadership. The idea is not literally that the person is old in age, but that the individual has had time in Christ, that they're experienced in following him, that they're equipped as a follower of Christ to lead in this office of elder in the church. Okay, an elder needs wisdom to be able to effectively shepherd his flock that is amongst him and to exercise oversight. Those are the two other words. We just saw the oversight, overseer. The next word is shepherd. And that's again where we get our word pastor from. Same word. And it has the idea of providing care for. You see how the shepherd, we understand what a shepherd is. It tells us what the person in that office is to do. They're to provide for, to feed, to nurture, to care for, to lead the sheep. Okay? Don't think of shepherds here in America that are pushing and driving the sheep with dogs. Think of Middle Eastern, where the shepherd would have affectionate relationship with his sheep. They would know his voice, and when the shepherd would go somewhere, his sheep would follow him, leading the sheep. So again, what is the context for this office and practical wisdom, oversight, and care, pastoral care? What is it referring to that this individual needs practical wisdom in how they oversee and care for the church? It is in the teaching of the Word of God. This is the primary role of an overseer, shepherd, pastor. 1 Timothy 3:2. If you go through 1 Timothy chapter 3, it gives the qualifications for an overseer in the church. It says that if you desire this office, you desire a noble task, this is a good thing. And it gives all of these character traits that this overseer, the one who desires the office of overseer, he has to be a man of God, high moral character. Thing after thing after thing is high moral character, and then there's one ability in the list. And it's the ability of teaching. It says, "Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Able to teach. And again, it's striking to understand that able to teach is left off in the following verses when it talks about the office of deacon. This is not a requirement of a deacon. In Acts 6, go ahead and turn with me there if you will. Acts 6. We'll just read verses 3 and 4. This is kind of the beginning of this office in the New Testament. The picking out of the first deacons. As there was some things going on in the church. The Hellenist widows were not being provided for through the offerings of the church. So there arose a complaint. The overseers, those who would be elders in the area, apostles as well, said, well, this is not something that we need to be looking into. We need to focus on something. So they got deacons, and pay attention, we'll be back in this to when we look at what a deacon is and what their function is. It says, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So they wanted other men who were full of wisdom, full of the Spirit, had a good reputation, who could handle this and take care of this matter in the church. Why? Because it was so important that these men focused on the ministry of the word and prayer. The ministry of the word and prayer. The spiritual leading of the church. This is the role of the pastor, elder, and overseer. This is what we've been reading nonstop in our men's Bible study on 1 Timothy and Titus, right, guys? Paul tells Timothy to focus on leading the churches through teaching the correct doctrine. This is how you lead. Teach the truth and live it out, Timothy. Preach it and practice it. He says the same thing to Titus. Preach it and practice it. And raise up other men who will raise up other faithful men. Raise up more leaders. Overseers are to be able to teach the word, to defend the church from error, so defend against false doctrine, give an adequate defense for the truth. His office is centered around the truth of God's word. Do you get it? I keep saying it over and over. Therefore, we must have men in positions of leadership who know the word, who live the word, and who can teach the word. The office of the pastor, overseer, elder, his role is very clearly laid out in Scripture. So quick question, I'm going to ask this several times. Because we're going to get into the deacon and how the deacon kind of unloads some of the weight and the responsibility of the church so that the elders can focus on the teaching of the word. Understand how important the teaching of the word is in the local church. That God has given gifts to the church, men to serve the church simply by teaching the word. And if there are things that come up that distract them away from it, he created another office in the church in order to unload that burden so they can focus on teaching the word. How important is the word of God to you, beloved? The word of God, according to him, is of utmost importance for the church. That means it's utmost importance for me. It's utmost importance for you. How big of an emphasis do you put on it in your own life? Be challenged by this. So while the office of pastor and his role are clearly laid out, not so much with deacons, okay? But we're going to observe nonetheless. So the office of a deacon, when laying out the qualifications for a deacon in 1 Timothy 3, this again has to be a person of high moral character, but the qualification of able to teach is lacking. Why? Well, because just like the elder, overseer, pastor, as his role is defined by the words that are used to describe the office, so is deacon, diakonos. It's a servant. It's just the word servant. It's used all over the place in Scripture, more times than it's used for the office, actually. Okay? But there are times clearly, like here, in Philippians chapter 1, where it's referring to the office. Clearly in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it's the office. So this is a person, a specific role in the church for someone who serves the church. Now all of us are serving. We're all to be serving in the church, right? If we're a part of the body, we've got to be serving the body. That's how we grow. So, in what ways then does a deacon serve? That kind of seems abstract. Okay, well, let's get the idea again from Acts 6. You should still be there. I haven't turned myself. Acts 6, 1. And we're going to read through verse 7. And again, get the commentary from the text. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, important, what was happening? The disciples were increasing in number. So what do you think that means about the leadership and the burdens that they're carrying? Those are increasing in number. Okay? A complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So what did these men do? How did these men serve? They served in a way that took the burden and the load off of the overseers so that they could preach the word. They could dedicate their time to prayer. So they're looking at physical things while the overseer, pastor, is looking at spiritual leading and serving the church. Physical service, spiritual service. Now that doesn't mean, I want to make sure you guys understand that doesn't mean that a pastor doesn't physically serve the church. It also doesn't mean that a deacon can't teach. We know that Stephen taught. We know that Philip taught in the New Testament, right? Okay, but what it's saying is the office, the primary purpose of this office. When a shepherd is getting overburdened with too much work, you bring in gifted men to serve the church family, to take some of the weight off, so that these men who are called by God to lead the church in the teaching can focus on the word. In Acts 6:6, listen to what happened when they did this. And they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid hands on them. And the result is the word of God continued to increase. Now, why would the word of God continue to increase? What did we just read in Ephesians 4 earlier today? Why did God give us the gifts of leadership? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to teach the word. So when the leaders are able to teach the word and focus on that, then the body is equipped for the work of the ministry. And if you keep going through Ephesians 4, it's, and they're speaking the truth to one another in love, and the body is growing up together into the head who is Christ. Does it mean that because the apostles were preaching that they were the ones winning everybody to Christ? No, it doesn't. Does it mean that my job at Kentwood Baptist Church and Bob's job at Kentwood Baptist Church is to win everybody to Christ and grow the church? No. Our job is to teach the people of God. And we are to do the work of an evangelist, right, Pastor Bob? We're to share our faith with others. But my job in the gifts that God has given me in the body is to teach and to push. And you guys push me back. You do. I want you to know that. Everybody who studies the Word with me, I grow because I'm studying the Word with you. But the Word of God increases. The number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. If we do what Scripture says, if the office of overseer and the office of deacon is doing what they're supposed to do, according to Scripture, the church is going to grow. And the Word of God is going to go forth. And the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of truth that penned or used men to pen the Word, He is going to work. And God's people are going to grow. And we're going to go out. And the gates of hell cannot stand up against us. This is really important stuff. For time's sake, I'm not going to go into the Old Testament, but you see kind of a shadow of this. It doesn't 100% apply because it's Old Covenant Moses, but Exodus 18, there is the story of Moses and his father-in-law and how they had a conversation about Moses doing too much, and his father-in-law said, you know, you need men to stand in for you so that you can focus on the things that you need to focus on. Let these men judge the people. You focus on the greater matters. Okay? But a deacon is one who cares for the needs of the people. He cares for the needs of the people to alleviate the burden of the pastors so that the pastors can focus primarily on the spiritual needs. Acts 14:23 says, "And when they appointed elders from them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." I should give you some context first about that. So Acts 14 is the Apostle Paul going back through, after his first missionary journey, he goes back through the cities that he visited in Galatia, and he goes, and we see him appointing elders. This is interesting because it doesn't say that he appointed both offices. It says he appointed elders in each church. Okay, so again, what does this teach us? This teaches us that these churches were small and that the elders could take care of the needs of the people and focus on the teaching of the Word. But as the churches grow and the needs grow, deacons are appointed. Does that make sense? So it says, when they had appointed elders for them in every church. Okay? Deacons is missing. God has designed His church this way. He's given us these two offices. Why? Because we need the Word. We need the Word. We need to be served. We need our physical needs loved on. I don't want to overlook that. Okay, but beloved, the more and more that you study Scripture, the more that you're just going to understand that the things of this world are passing away and that God is calling us more and more to fall out of love with the things of this world and to focus on eternity and to focus on Him. And while we do meet each other's physical needs and we love each other in Christ, those are an overflow of the truth of the gospel that is at work within us. That is what has changed us, to be gracious as our God is gracious. So the word is the primary important thing in the gathering together of the saints. I gotta wrap up here. So I want to have two quick observations about these offices as we look at the local church. Two additional observations. We notice, okay, we are Baptists. Okay? And when I first came to this church, I learned that Baptist is an acronym that means you can use each one of those letters to tell what we believe as a church. Okay? And it's not to say that we're better than anybody else. It's just to help us remember what are the distinctives of being a Baptist, being at a Baptist church. Well, one of them is we have two offices, pastor and deacon. Notice there's only two. There's only two listed. We no longer have the office of apostle. No denomination over us, men telling us what to do. Okay, the apostles were for a time. They were there. The foundation of the church has been laid. We have the New Testament scriptures. It is sealed. It's finished. So each individual church then is under the authority of the local church, or of the word of God. And the local church has local leaders that then submits to the authority of the word of God. So we are two offices, and we believe in the autonomy of the local church. No longer apostles, no denomination of men telling us at the local church what we are to teach, what we are to do in our weekly gatherings as the people of God. The word is our sole source of authority. Okay, secondly, these two offices, when they're used in the local church setting, in the New Testament, they're always found in the plural form. Plural. Elders and deacons. And this is why it's so encouraging and exciting that Pastor Bob is here. We have elders. Plural. That's the way it's shown to us in the New Testament. Plural. There's accountability. God has not given to the church a gifted man to lead. It says that God has gifted men to lead the church. Okay? Understand, we can go into depth on this. And maybe I just, for time's sake, I'm going to skip over a whole bunch here. But I just want you to understand, as you go through the New Testament, there is this idea of servant leaders in the church, and they're all equal. The elders are all equal. But you have one who might stick out as the lead servant among lead servants. We see this in James in the Jerusalem church. He was the preacher, the pastor of the Jerusalem church. We know he wasn't the only elder at the Jerusalem church. Okay, you look at Philippians, it's overseers and deacons, plural. You look at when Paul went to all the churches in Galatia, he just planted churches in, he appointed elders, plural. Again, this is important. You do not want me all by myself leading the church. You don't want me all by myself and what's up here and what's in here deciding about the spiritual growth of this church. That's the job of a group of called, qualified men. Okay? And the deacons work together with them as a team to minister to the needs of the people. All of these things, God knows the truth. He knows what the church needs. As leadership goes, so goes the church. He's gifted the church with men to serve us spiritually, to lead us. Men who are with us, not apart from us, but a part of our family, gifted men to teach us the word for our edification, for our growth in Christ. He's called us to serve together and these men to care for us. We serve a good God who knows our needs. He's given us the office of deacon to come alongside of us and to care for us and to make decisions within our church, whether it be financial, whether it be grounds, whatever it may be, to take care of the load off of the elders and to serve the people well. So a few questions as we close and thank God for how good He is and how He's designed the church. First, are you thankful to God for His wonderful order? Have you thought about it? Have you thanked Him? Secondly, are you seeking to submit to the servant leadership of KBC? Do you pray for them? Submit is a love word. Okay? Do you pray for them? Do you submit to them? Do you care for them? Men, are you seeking these offices? The office of an overseer, we said earlier, is a noble task. Are you seeking to be a leader yourself? Are you seeking to lead in your home and build godly character? I can tell you this, the men who are in leadership at our church want to see leaders grown up here. We want to see young guys grow up into leadership. We want to invest in you. Do you want to be invested in? Maybe God has that for you and for your future. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you again for the truth of your word. I thank you, God, that as we look at it, there's a lot. God, this topic of leadership in the church, theologians have written volumes upon volumes, and we've spent 40 minutes discussing it. We've skimmed very briefly the surface of this wonderful truth of how you have ordered your church and how you govern your church. But Father, as we think about the gifts that you've given to us in our leadership, Lord, may we see that any authority that they have is authority graciously passed down by you. That the authority is in your word. The authority is in Christ and in Him alone. For He is our head. He is our great shepherd. And for those who are our under shepherds and those who are our servant deacons, Father, I pray that we would treat them the way that we treat you, with respect, with love, with care, with submission. And God, those who of us who are here, who are deacons, who are pastors, or those of us who would aspire to that we would be challenged, Lord. Challenged to do that which you've called us to do, to stand up in faith. God, to endure for the work of a overseer and the work of a deacon. Father, it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot. But may we walk by faith. May we give our all for you. And Lord, through that, would you increase Kentwood Baptist Church? Would you grow your people, equip them for the work of ministry? And would you use us to reach out then into the community as your word increases here? And would we see many come to faith in Christ? This would bring us so much joy. And Lord, we know it would bring you joy. Would you do that? For the glory of Christ, we do ask. In Jesus' name, amen.